Now, here's the interesting part about fragmenting, is that we, just like the molecules, the atoms, the lower lives, are all fragments of the higher lives that are put together to produce the higher life, which is man. We are fragments that have to be put together to create a higher life than ourselves. And there's a higher life than ourselves waiting to occupy the body that we will create when we put it together. And Jesus was the first one to do this. He created a molecule of 12 units, 12 men and also 12 women that aren't written about in the scriptures, 24 people he put together. And when he put them together, a higher entity actually incarnated into that body. He created a body and a higher entity from the other side that have been waiting for millions of years came and incarnated into it, and it produced higher properties than we as an individual human have. Just like we as an individual human have higher properties than a dog or a cat or a rat or a snake, we have higher properties than them. When we take the fragments, which is us, and put them together and create the body, a higher body, a higher entity will come in with higher abilities. But the great part is that we can share in its consciousness. So every atom in our body, every cell in our body is a life form unto itself. But it shares in our consciousness. When we think something, it reverberates down to even the cells in our body. Every thought that you have influences the cells in your body. This is why negative thoughts produce disease, because if you think negative thoughts, it reverberates down to the cellular level and influences the cells negatively and produces disharmony and disease. Positive thinking aligns the cells in a positive way. So the cells in our body are capable of sharing our life. When Jesus created the higher life, each one of the apostles was able to share in the higher consciousness of the higher life. There was one life in this body that was created, but shared by all the individuals that participated in it. So that's an interesting thought when you think about it. And eventually, what we'll have is we'll put all the pieces back together until all of us, when we go back to our source, when the universe is over, we will share in the one life. It'll be like you're God, but you aren't God, but you are, so to speak. You know, it's because you will be a part in the mind of God, but you will be able to share in the whole mind of God when we all go back to our source. But it will be many steps. Creating the molecular relationship will just be the next step in our evolution. And then we'll create higher units, like 144,000 units, and then millions and billions of units, until humanity gets consciousness high enough that they will actually be able to move planets and stars. And they will be able to reshape galaxies and reshape the whole universe itself. And it's fantastic to think about is that as we grow in consciousness and create higher life forms, these higher life forms will be able to actually move matter. And we'll be able to take a planet like, we'll be able to go to Saturn, take the moon, which is Titan, and move it to an orbit similar to the Earth. We'll warm up and we'll be able to people it with people. We'll be like gods to that planet. And we'll be able to take all the planets in the solar system and use them to make them habitable and one way or another, or useful to us. Right now, the Earth is the only one that's really usable for us, but we will eventually mold this solar system so all the planets will be usable and at our disposal for the benefit of mankind. Yeah.
So you're saying that the other planets, maybe on a different dimension, may have people living on them that we just cannot see.
That's not what I'm saying, but that's a true statement, that on the higher levels, like on Venus, on the higher etheric levels, according to DK, there are people there. You know. But on the physical level, there isn't. So we will take Venus on the physical level and eventually make it more conducive. We'll take Venus out of its orbit, farther away from the Earth, or from the Sun, so it's not, you know, 600 degrees on its surface. 600 degrees is a little too warm. But it's interesting, in the higher atmosphere of Venus, it's actually cool enough that we could produce airships that could float around there, be in fairly comfortable zone, which is interesting. Now, we'll do some fantastic things. The next step, first we'll move planets, then we'll learn to move stars. We can go like Alpha Centauri and move that over here, so that we can like have maybe perhaps a double star and share the planets all together. You know, we'll do create, we'll do stuff that boggles the mind. But this is millions, perhaps.
The genetic code is.
Yeah, that's child's play. So we'll do fantastic things in the millions and billions of years. Look how far we've gone in 100 years. Just imagine if we can keep civilization together so we can progress millions of years in the future and also develop not only just physical science, but spiritual science to a high degree. There's no limit to what we can do. We will wind up reshaping, first of all, the solar system, and then arrangement of stars, and then we'll change the whole shape of the galaxy to whatever we want, and then eventually we will move galaxies, you know, until in the end, when the universe wraps up, the universe will acquire a perfect shape. What that end shape is, we don't know. But it will be designed by our intelligence. Our intelligence will decide what the end of the universe will look like. And when we are totally satisfied with everything that we put together and have total control over every facet of this universe and solved every equation, then we'll say, well, we're getting bored with this game. We've finished it. We've mastered it. Let's go home. So then we'll release, God will release all the energy that he has in it, and it will turn into a great black hole again and suck everything back in, and we'll all go back to our source for a long, long period of just rest and recuperation.
How's that going to happen in 1,000 lifetimes? Because I'm going to miss out on the end of that.
Well, 1,000 lifetimes is just a liberation on the individual level. Then you got unlimited lifetimes on higher levels.
Okay, so we keep coming back on when you get through this plane of existence, so to speak, like 1,000 incarnations or something.
Right, when you achieve the ultimate liberation, achieve all you can as an individual, then you blend with other lives and create and become a part of a higher consciousness and do things more difficult, like I say, moving planets perhaps, you know, and these tougher things.
Well, I don't know exactly.